Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. On this week's show, we'll hear about a devastating disease afflicting bat populations across the country and find out why we should care. KBIA's Kyle Diaz has the story.
I'm standing in the mouth of a cave in mid-Missouri. I can't tell you exactly what cave. I'm with two biologists from the Missouri Department of Conservation, Tony Elliott and Shelley Kalatsky. We're wearing these makeshift hazmat suits that look like a supervillain costume put together by a kid for Halloween, a disposable blue jumpsuit, dishwashing gloves, knee-high rubber wading boots, and a helmet with a lamp on it. The mouth of the cave is this passageway, and at the end is a heavy wrought iron gate.
This cave, you come in this entrance passage, and it opens up into a pretty big room right here. Already got a couple of bats up on the high ceiling there.
So why are we in this cave? Why the gate and the secrecy? And why are we dressed like the world's most low-budget nuclear cleanup team? Well, the answer to all those questions is the same. White nose syndrome. White nose syndrome is a disease that's been quietly decimating bat populations for the last 5 or 6 years. It's caused by a fungus, Gyomyces destructens, that found its way, probably on the boot or the pant leg of an avid caver, from Europe to a cave in Schoharie County in upstate New York, where it was first discovered in 2007. From that one cave in New York, the disease radiated relentlessly outward, first to the rest of New England, then into Pennsylvania, and north into Ontario and Quebec, then down along the Appalachians to North Carolina and Virginia, and then over to cave-rich Tennessee, Kentucky, and yes, Missouri. Though no bats have yet been confirmed to have the disease in Missouri, the fungus has been found in several caves. White nose manifests as a hard, shiny growth on the muzzles and wings of bats. The discomfort of the fungus causes the bats to wake up too frequently from hibernation, and they starve, or fly out of the cave into weather far too cold for them to survive. Anne Froschauer works for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. She's the National Communications Coordinator on White Nose Syndrome. Part of her job is to visit caves hit by white nose, where the mortality rate is often as high as 95%.
It's not a very pleasant sight, you know, aside from just the physical appearance of the fungus growing on the bat's wings and muzzles. There seems to be some impact to the neurological systems as well. So oftentimes these bats are behaving very oddly. They're crawling around in the snow and ice and on the rocks. And it doesn't seem to be a very pleasant, quick way to die. It's tough to see them that way.
So the cynical question here is, why should we care? Well, there's an obvious answer, that it's tragic to see yet another species vanish right in front of our eyes for reasons we imperfectly understand and can't control. But there are other more selfish answers, too.
Bats do everything at night.
That's Justin Boyles. He's a researcher at the University of Tennessee, and he's been studying the economic impacts of white nose syndrome for the last few years. It turns out that bats play a little recognized but significant role in pest control.
So they are basically the only natural predator on nighttime flying insects. Most crop pests are nighttime flying insects, or have some state life stage where they are a nighttime flying insect. So really, short of pesticides, bats are essentially the only control on a lot of those pests.
Putting an exact number on the economic impact of white nose is tough. Because we never had accurate counts of bat populations before the disease, it's tough to know what impact their disappearance would have. The estimates of how much white nose could cost farmers range between $3 billion and $50 billion a year. Boyles thinks it'll be somewhere in the middle, maybe $20 billion a year, taking into account both the amount farmers would have to spend on pesticides and the value of the crops they would lose.
When you look at the numbers on a very local scale, they're not huge. somewhere along the lines of, you know, another one or two or three pesticide applications a year. But when we extrapolate them to the millions of acres of cropland that we're talking about, the numbers get pretty big pretty quickly. A lot of people ask us why this is important, but what I don't think a lot of people realize is that even if this is something we solve, and we don't know that that's going to happen, but even if it is something that we do solve, bats are so long-lived and reproduce so slowly that even if we make this go away now, it could be 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 years before the bat populations rebound. So your grandkids, grandkids, grandkids' generation will maybe be seeing bats again.
So let's go back to that cave in mid-Missouri and to those questions I asked at the beginning of this story. Why are we in the cave? Well, we're in the cave looking for bats infected with white nose. The gate is there to keep intrepid capers from spreading the fungus, and the secrecy is to keep them from trying to get past it. And the hazmat suits are the last inadequate defense against the disease. An acknowledgement that if we can't cure white nose, we might be able to at least slow its spread.
Yeah, everything looks good so far. No sign of any fungal growth, anything.
Luckily, the bats in this cave look normal. But listening to Elliot and Kalatsky, it's tough to see them as anything less than sentries in the watchtower, waiting for an invasion they absolutely know is coming.
It makes us happy that it's not here yet. I mean, I guess that's, we still expect it to arrive. I mean, it's not moving as quick these last two winters as we thought it was going to, which is good. I mean, it gives us more time to try to figure out a solution or for nature to kind of come into a balance a little bit and deal with it maybe somehow. But we definitely do expect it to arrive.
Honestly, I think most people are, we do our best to remain optimistic, but it's pretty difficult. I would say it's still pessimistic.
I have to be hopeful. I am hopeful when I see and when I have an opportunity to work with these people that are dedicating their a lot of their lives to trying to figure this thing out as quickly as we can and conserve the bats that we have.
Elliot and Kalatsky will be finishing up their cave surveys over the next few weeks. Only after they're all finished will they know if they've gotten another year to prepare. Meanwhile, white nose was just found for the first time in a cave in Alabama on March 1st. That's the southernmost appearance of the disease so far. Kyle Diaz, KVIA News.
That's it for this week's Under the Microscope. Thanks for listening. To listen to this episode and others, just head to our website, kvia.org.